Hear the lesson from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, 13th chapter, beginning at the 18th verse. This is the portion which follows Jesus' telling of the parable of the sower, and then explains to his disciples what he was teaching in that parable. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Dear friends in Christ, what do we first think about when we hear Jesus talking about the seed that falls on the different kinds of ground? Do we think, well, who do I know that's like the thorny ground? Which of my friends is like the rocky ground? I wonder if I'm the good soil. But of course, responses like that really miss the point, and they reveal the Pharisaism that lurks in the hearts of all of us. We look in the wrong place and not at all to the place where Jesus is pointing. Where are those first three kinds of ground in the parable to be found? The crusty path, the rocky dry ground, the ground filled with thorns, all of which choke out the word of God, keep it from taking root and preventing faith. All three kinds of ground are to be found right here in my own heart. When Jesus tells this parable, he is not urging us to look out toward the other people, to look outward, but rather to look inward at our own hearts. He who has ears to hear, he says, let him hear. Now, all of those qualities that Jesus describes are the work of the old Adam, my sinful flesh, that which remains in my heart. That's my continued enmity against God. Because of the world around me, and because of the nature within me, my heart is a crusty, well-worn path, insensitive to sin, and not fully convinced that my daily life is always such a grief and sorrow to God, not all that much in need of his word or forgiveness, although I might need it once in a while. If we do not think that the bare, simple, straightforward voice of the gospel of forgiveness quite pertains to us, at least not all the time, then we are dry, beaten down ground where the seed of his word simply cannot take root. And by the same token, it really is the thorns and the rocks, the cares and the temptation in my own daily life, which keeps on choking out the life of God's word and which wants to take root in my heart. It's my heart which is described in the parable as the crusty, dry, rocky, and thorny ground. But not only does Jesus want to warn us in this parable about that bad ground in our hearts, he also wants us to think about the good ground. And what is the good ground? Does that mean that somehow God's word comes and finds some hearts which are naturally good ground, which are more receptive to his word of forgiveness, or which have become more receptive because of our superior way of living? No. God himself makes that ground to be good and receptive to the seed. The field doesn't plow itself and disk itself to make itself ready for the seed. The sower himself prepares the ground. It's God himself who repairs hearts to receive the seed of his word. He makes the bad ground of my heart into good ground, and he does it by the power of his word. It's only through the powerful word of God, the law, that the crustiness and the rockiness and the thorniness of my heart is broken up and made to be the ground that can receive the seed of his gospel, which can then take root and bear fruit. That law of God, when it comes to us, is the pick and the plow which breaks up the crust. It's the rain and the sun that disintegrates the clods and the rock. It's the fire which burns the thorns to their roots. And it's the precious life-giving word of the gospel itself and nothing else, which sprouts in the heart and bursts forth in the full bloom of faith. The precious seed that he plants in our hearts is the word of the gospel, the proclamation of his righteousness, the forgiveness of sins, and salvation. The Apostle Peter speaks that way, of course, in his first letter when he said, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever." And all of that is the gracious promise that our God attaches to his word, the word of the gospel. We do not need to seek him anywhere else than in that word of the gospel. Through that word of forgiveness, he's made us his own, and as the seed which sprouts by his power. And in that word, he sets before us the very righteousness with which he is pleased, not a righteousness that's our own working, but the righteousness of his Son, who he calls the Lord, our righteousness. Look for him then in that one place where he promises to be found and where he promises to work his grace. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have sown your holy word among us. We pray that you will prepare our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may diligently and reverently hear your word, keep it in good hearts, and bring forth fruit with patience, and that we may not incline to sin, but subdue it by your power, and in all the persecutions comfort ourselves with your grace and continual help. Through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.